2 Timothy chapter 4. Again, this will conclude the teaching and instruction in Timothy. I'll read it first. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they, after their own lust, shall they heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. But watch you in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and a time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly to me, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, and Titus into Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with you, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when you come, bring with you, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom thou beware also, for he has greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Priscilla and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Troas have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, and Prudence, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with you, with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Now let's go back and see what he says. God is using Paul to bring some information here and set up some things. He says, I charge you before God. Literally, he's not charging him before God. He literally says, I confirm to you before God. He's saying, I confirm the things I'm saying to you. He's not confirming Timothy. He's confirming the things that has been spoken to him. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge. Now, as God judges, everybody gets this wrong opinion because they've seen these big pictures of these big long lines of people standing in the air up to the clouds, and somebody sitting on a big throne up there sending them all back to hell. That is a false doctrine, a false picture, comes from the mind of humanity out of the pit. When God judges, the only way God can look at you or I or any other person on the face of the earth and look at you, the only way he can judge you is not guilty. Because of the blood of Christ he shed for the sins of the whole world. We've got to be able to understand this. God died, he sent his son to die for us in the flesh, that we don't have to die. What does that mean? I don't have to die. It's not talking about the flesh, it's talking about the spirit. See, because even the church is saying you're going to be judged and thrown in hell in the spirit. Right? Not in your physical body. Because after you die, you don't have a physical body. It just doesn't make sense. But he shall judge the quick, and the word quick literally means living. He's going to judge the living and the dead. Okay? Whether you're alive now or you're going to be alive later. Whether you're dead in spirit right now or alive in spirit. He's going to judge everybody, isn't he? Couldn't you have just as easily said he's going to judge the whole world? Huh? Okay. And when is he going to do it? Okay. Well, not the way you think this thing says it. It should say the quick and the dead, the living or the dead, at or by, not his, but thee. It's the word ho. By the appearing, not and, the word and should be of, his kingdom. So it says, by the appearing of his kingdom. That's how he's going to judge. By the appearing of his kingdom. You know what the word kingdom is? It's an internal thing. See, the kingdom of God is within you. By God's appearing within you, his manifestation of his life in you. Kind of like the word grace, that divine influence in you and a reflection of that into your lifestyle. When God appears into your life, that's where you're judged. See, when God appeared into my life and I understood God appeared in my life, when I knew this, not somebody telling me I was saved because I said I'm sorry, not because I was dunked in water, not because I ate a cracker and drank some grape juice, not because I got on my knees and prayed and begged God for something, but when God made a time of his own doing, when God says, every man in his own order, when God chose to reveal his son in me, just like he did to Paul, he said, I no longer conferred with flesh and blood. I no longer have to go to an organization to find my life and my peace because it's within me. Can you hear what I'm saying? It's the same for you. God wants you. These are patterns for your life. It's not just a history book about these prophets that walked before us. It's about our lives. We have to come to the revelation when God reveals to us his son, I don't have to worry about flesh and blood anymore, do I? Because the Christ is alive in me. It always is, but I just wasn't aware of it. But I am now aware of it. I don't have to worry anymore, and neither do you. But when it says, by his appearing of his, not kingdom, the Greek word, the word there is basileia, it means rule or realm. By God ruling and reigning in my life, what does that do? That judges me. By God's standard, not by the standard of a man saying, well, I think you're wrong, or I don't agree with what you're doing. All I have to do is meet God's standard. I don't have to worry about what people think.
Well, the light shines on the darkness and removes it.
There is no more darkness. Instantly, the darkness is gone. See, because I realize he took care of it. There's no condemnation in Christ. Do you see what I'm saying? When Christ is revealed to you in you, there's no more condemnation. What am I condemned about? He done paid the price for it. What am I worried about? That doesn't give me a license to go be stupid and do stupid things. It just, I realize he's already took care of all the stupid things I've done while I was in ignorance. See? I don't have to worry about that anymore. Don't have to bring it up. Don't have to dig it up. Anybody wants to can dig it up and beat me over the head with it, but it's not going to affect me because I'm not going to listen to it. Because I know he already took care of it. It's a done deal. It's finished, isn't it? And we can walk on. Into verse 2, it goes on and says, preach the word. Do you think he's just telling everybody to go out there and scream at everybody? I've seen people stand over here in town and all over the place, stand on the corners and scream, and their neck was all swelled up like a deer in rut. You're going to hell if you don't get saved. I mean, it's foolishness. God didn't tell nobody to go screaming and yelling. I didn't see Jesus screaming and yelling anywhere. He just talked. He just talked to people. And these people have got their emphasis on it and make it what they think it should be. And we're not supposed to add to this thing. And we're not supposed to take away from it. We're supposed to tell the truth. Just tell it, okay? But it says, preach the word. And this word here for word is the word logos, and that's the spiritual word. It's the truth. And it says, be instant in season. It should say, be ready. Be ready, not in season, but it says, be ready when the opportunity occurs. Be ready when the opportunity occurs. So that kind of means like, don't wait till the last second and think I'm going to figure it all out when I get there. It means kind of like getting yourself prepared before you leave. Right? Do a little preventive things here. There you go. You got to have some life experience before you can do anything. It says, but be ready when the opportunity occurs. And the word out of season literally means, it should say, when the opportunity occurs or the lack of opportunity, still be ready. It says, reprove. And reprove literally means to correct or show one his faults. It didn't say beat him over the head with his faults. It said show them to him. Reveal them to him. You know, you can show somebody a fault without beating them up about it, can't you? I don't have to beat somebody up to say, you know, something you're doing, there could be a better way than what you're doing. If you look at it, you might find that there's something a little better than that. You don't have to be real aggressive with someone. He said, rebuke them and exhort them. The word exhort literally means to comfort or encourage them. So he says, comfort and encourage people with all what? Long-suffering? That's a fancy word, but better understanding is patience. You encourage them with patience. Be patient with people. You know, everybody doesn't hear the same way, do they? And sometimes you might have to say it a half a dozen times before it sinks in. Or 50 times. What difference does it make? We're only here to accomplish the goals that God has sent me here to do, or you to do, right? So if God sent you here to reach to someone, what difference does it make if it takes you twice to go to them or 100 times to go to them, if that's your purpose? What difference does it make? What else have I got to do that's so important that it can't be what God wants? And God might want me to learn a lesson out of this, you think? So what difference does it make how many times, how many hours I have to spend with someone to help them break through? I don't care. If they still want to go, I'm going to go with them, and I'll go with them. I've done it many times all night long till the sun comes up and still be going. If it means that person can break through, I'm willing to do it. Now, I have no time limit on God. Whatever he wants, he can get it. That's right. It's helping me and them both. And the last word is with long suffering and or comfort and encourage and patience and doctrine. The word doctrine is instruction or teaching. So to encourage someone, you have to have patience and some teaching or some instruction. You can't just tell somebody, hey, everything's going to be all right. It's okay. God said it's going to be okay. You know, a lot of people do that. They call them inspirational speakers. They don't have any fact to back anything up. They just say it's going to be all right. Well, we know it's going to be all right, but if I got some proof to go along with that, how much more encouraging is those words? How much more power is in the word when I can show you there is fact to back up what I'm saying? There's evidence there. In verse 3 it says, because the time will come when they will not endure what? Sound doctrine. Well, the word literally, the Greek literally says opinions. They will not endure opinions free from mixture of error. They won't endure opinions that are free from mixture of error. They want it mixed a little bit. They don't want it straight, see? But after their own lust, they shall heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears. Do you think that's what it really says? Do you really believe that he put something in there like that? King James put it there, but God didn't. What those words really should say is they'd heap up to themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. In other words, they'll hire somebody to tell me what I already know. I'll hire me a preacher, and I'll get him to come in and jump through the hoop like a trained seal, and if he don't say what I already believe, I ain't going to hire him. Well, what in the world do you need a preacher for? You need a whipping boy. That's all you're looking for. You want someone to tell you the truth, you ain't going to like it. They'll run you off if you're for hire. Okay? And verse 4 goes on saying, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to what? Fables. The word fables is okay, but it also says in this Greek word fiction, falsehoods, myths, and inventions. That means stories they've made up. And Lord, ain't that the truth. But then he turns around in verse 5 and said, but you watch in all things. How many things should you be watching in? In all things. Don't believe anybody. I'm telling you, don't believe me. I'm telling you the truth, but you better go check me out. It ain't going to do nothing but reinforce you when you do it, is it? He said, but you watch in all things. Endure afflictions. Why did he say endure afflictions? He wasn't talking about you getting a sprained ankle or a sore finger. He's talking about them, the way they treat you. Because they're going to beat you up. I had a man showed up on our door yesterday from up around Beaver. He's been here a couple times. And I'd say he's in his early 50s, and he has some afflictions in life. He has some probably MS, maybe. And he said, I've been listening to your website. It's probably been close to a year since he's been here. He said, I've been listening to your website. So I really like that. He said, I tried to share this message of reconciliation with some people that I know at church. And he said, man, they got mad at me. He said, this is the most wonderful thing I've ever heard. And then when you try to share it, they want to chop your head off. I said, you're in the right place. That's what they do. They don't want to hear it. They want to be superior to somebody else. So it's always encouraging. I don't know the number of people that listen to what I say. I have no idea. It's put on a website and it's free to the world. And I know it's going in 60, 70 countries a month at least, all over the world. And God knows where else it's referred, from this person to that person to someone else. And it doesn't make any difference. I'm sowing the seed, and guess who gives the increase? God gives the increase. It's not up to me. I don't need to know it. It's encouraging when you do hear from someone once in a while to know that it's reaching out all over the world and it's free to everybody. See, in that way, not only rich people get it, but everybody get it. See, it's free to everybody. But he said, you watch in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. And you know that's not what it says. Does that surprise you? It says, do the work of an evangelist. And literally it says, do the work of a preacher of the gospel. Do the work of a preacher of the gospel. Do you think Paul knew what the preacher of a gospel should be doing? I think he did, since he was one. He preached the truth. He preached the gospel. The gospel word, the word for gospel, means good news. Well, what's good news about sending 90-some percent of creation into hell for torment for eternity? The good news is everybody's going to get to the other side. Everybody's going to be there. Everybody's not going to have the same position. Somebody's is going to be sitting on a throne ruling and reigning with God, and some of them ain't. But they're all going to be there. That's the good thing. God's reconciling the whole creation back to himself. That's the good news Jesus came to bring to us. And he said it many times himself. And if they just listened to what Jesus said, they couldn't think the thing about hell. Because he said, I created hell for the devil and his angels in the Gospels. And he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all humanity back to me. If all goes back to him, then who's going to be in hell? I mean, just think a little bit. Just ask these questions in your own mind when someone says something to you. Listen to them. Don't listen to these inspirational speakers that don't tell you the truth. They just hype you up, and when you walk out, you fall flat on your face again. But if you have the truth, you've got something to sustain, a foundation under you to hold you up when the storm comes. Like in Matthew 7, where the rains come and beat upon the house. It was built on the sand, and guess what? It ain't going to stand the test, is it? And guess what fell? It wasn't the man, it was his house. And the same thing, whenever he built his house upon the rock Christ, the winds and the rain came, and that was God. That was the Word beating on his house and the Spirit of God, the wind, and it stood. Guess what? Because he had the foundation under him. If we get the foundation, we can withstand all the storms, and it'll make us that much stronger. He said, make full proof of your ministry. And he didn't say that either. He said, fulfill your ministry. Fulfill your ministry. Do what God wants you to do. Don't do it the way man teaches you. Do it the way God teaches you. And he said, because I am now ready to be offered or poured out, and the time of my departure is at hand, or right soon. He's about ready to die. Paul knows that. He said, I have fought a good fight. No, he didn't. He said, I have fought the good fight. The word a there is an indefinite article, which it's not in here. The word ho is a definite article. It should be the. So I fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You read that in the New American Standard Translation. I don't know what the New King James say. Does it say the? Okay. It's the fight. See, it's the right article there. King James missed that one too. I don't want to shock anybody, but King James missed one there. Okay. Verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me, not again a crown, but the crown. Okay? There's not a whole bunch of crowns, and everybody's not going to have a crown sitting on their head. Okay? That's fairy tales that we hear. But the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day, in that day, and not me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. Now, what was we talking about the appearing in the first verse? It was an internal appearing. It's not talking about someday at the end of time, God's going to judge everybody and set a crown on your head. He's talking about when God's timing, when every man in his own order, when God chooses to bring that man to maturity, that man or woman, whoever it is, and at that day, or in that day, which is called the day of the Lord. He will give it to not only Paul, he says, but I'll give it to all that love his appearing. The same appearing that we talked about in the first verse, about appearing internally. And when God does something internal, guess what happens to it? It manifests external. Because whatever's internally in your life is what runs the external of your life. You do from what's inside of you. He says, do your diligence to come quickly to me, because Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present age, not world, but age, and is departed to Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke, the light giver, is with me. Luke means light giving. Take Mark, and Mark means a defense, and bring him with you, because he is profitable or useful to me for the ministry. You know, one time Paul said, I don't need Mark. I don't need him. Man, get him away from here. We couldn't get along. Everybody says, well, I've heard it preached. Well, Mark grew up. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Paul grew up. Paul's the one who grew up. There's nothing says that Mark grew up. But I know Paul grew up because of his attitude change. He now saw something. He had a conflict with one of his brothers, but he said he put that aside and said, I see him now as useful and beneficial to me. See, I couldn't see it any before. I had some people came here one time, and they were years ago, and they were talking about this waitress in a restaurant in this town. They talked about how she was so aggravating. And she was so nice, she would almost make you throw up. She would just want you to say, would you go away and leave us alone? You know, she would just hover over you and try to do everything so nice. And I mean, she was really applying herself to be as good a waitress as she could be. Wasn't she, honey? And she was, you know, and it was a little smothering. I agree. You know, I agreed with them. Yeah, I'd rather not come and ask me 25 times during my meal if there's anything I can do. You know, I'm okay. I'll see you when you bring a bill, you know. But after they came and got their eyes opened up, they went back within just a few months to this place, or a month or so to this place, and they stopped and got some food on the way home. And when they did, they called us when they got home and said, have you been to this restaurant lately? I said, well, been a little while, a week or so. And they said, you know that waitress that always aggravated us so much? She is so changed. I said, really? I said, I never noticed. And they said, oh yeah, she's just not the same person. I said, do you think it might be your perception? You have changed, and now you can see her heart. The woman wasn't trying to aggravate you. She was trying to please you at any cost. I said, the best waitress you could ever had. But it was kind of smothering, you know. But that's what I'm trying to say. And I see Paul the same way here. I see that he changed because he said, he's profitable for me. And at one time, he didn't want him around him. So I see the change in Paul, not in Mark. Maybe Mark changed, but I don't hear anything saying that. I know that Paul changed by the words he spoke. And if we watch sometimes, we judge people and we think, well, they've changed. But no, it's we're changing. Most of the time, people are not changing around us. It's us changing because we're hearing truth. If they hear truth, they change. If they don't, they will never change. They might grow and age in the ways of the world and might mellow out a little bit, but they've really never had that heart change. Because the ones who kind of mellow out with age, step on their shins, kick them in the shins, stomp on their toe, and see if they still got it or not. They still got it, see? Put them under the pressure and it comes out, don't it?
Didn't you say Mark's name?
Defendant? Defense, yeah.
Yeah, so wouldn't it be kind of Paul us? It's maturing to see that God is the defense.
Sure. Through whoever, he still provides for us. Absolutely. He said, bring me because he's profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. Okay? Tychicus means fortunate, and they sent him to Ephesus, which means permitted, and said, the cloak that I left at Troas, bring with Carpus, said, when you come, bring with you, and the books, especially the parchments. He's saying about the writings they had. And Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord will reward him according to his works. You don't have to judge anybody. You don't have to beat anybody up. You don't have to try to get revenge. God will take care of it. Of whom you beware also, because he has greatly not withstood but opposed our words. And again, that word is logos, the spiritual words. he has opposed, or he has greatly opposed our spiritual words. And in verse 16, this is kind of a, the word here, answer should not be there. And I'll read it the way it says first, and I'll change it. At my first answer, no man stood with me. And that word answer is defense. At my first defense, no one stood with me. But all, and the word men isn't there, but all forsook me. He said, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. How many of them left him? All of them. There's one man, and he mentions him again later down here, Onesiphorus. He was the one that stood with him when everybody else, he went to him in prison when everybody else gave up on him. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. See that verse? That's the same thing that Stephen said in Acts chapter 7. Father, don't lay this sin to their charge when they were killing him. It's the same thought process that Jesus cried out on the cross as he was dying. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Same thought process, isn't it? And it's just showing he's ready to die. He said, I'm ready to be poured out. I'm ready to be offered. He said, but don't lay this charge to them. He said, look at all the things they've done, but I'm telling you, don't charge them with it. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me that, what, through me, not by me, but through me, the preaching, cross out the word might after preaching, through me the preaching be fully known. And the next word that should be crossed out. And all the Gentiles, cross out the next word might, because it's not supposed to be there either, here. So let me read it again. That through me the preaching be fully known, and all the Gentiles hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, the world, the carnal mind, the system. He said, I've been delivered by it, by the preaching of the word. You know why he was delivered by preaching the word? Because he heard everything he said. It went right back into his ears. And he preached to himself before he preached to anybody else. He got the word before anybody else did. And that set him free from that carnal mind, that world system. And he says in verse 18, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me to his what? Not heavenly kingdom, but his spiritual realm. God is a spirit and he lives in the spirit. True? It's not a, that's man's terminology, some ethereal saying, some woo-woo heavenly realm up there somewhere. God is right here. He's within each and every one of us. And if we can't see that, we're going to be living in a fairy tale world. You remember what I taught you in Matthew 5 about till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or tittle will pass from this, from the law. In other words, until this concept of heaven up here and us down here, heaven and earth separated, till that concept of that is gone to where God is in us and we're united as one, till that concept is changed, we're never going to get out from under the law. We've got to understand those things. So, into his spiritual realm, to whom be glory into the age of ages. Into the age of ages. And he says, salute or greet Priscilla and Aquila, the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus above abode at Corinth, but Troamus have I left at Miletus sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eusebius greets you, and Prudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. And the Lord Jesus Christ, watch this, be in the midst of you. Grace, that's the divine influence in your life and a reflection into your lifestyle. And a divine influence is talking about the God influence, isn't it? The God influence in your life be in the midst of you. Correct? Amen. So be it. It's sealed. The end of the book. Amen. Any questions? Any comments?